He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
When you're filled with the Spirit, it's not a boring, mechanical type of, let me read the Bible, let me go to church, that's a good, you know, you're filled with the Spirit. You're sensitive in your family to the things of God, to praying specifically for your children. You're filled with the Spirit, so you're overflowing in your daily life. And I believe that's what Paul said when he said, I pray daily without ceasing. It's a life of prayer.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship. Located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground is titled, When Experience Meets Scripture, and comes from the sermon series, Answers for a Confused Church. Psalm 107:43 says, Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things, and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. Join us today as Pastor Shane guides us through the scriptures to teach us about godly wisdom and how we can best apply it to our lives.
Hello, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman with Westside Christian Fellowship. We are excited to announce the return of our Saturday night church services to Lancaster Stadium every Saturday this summer at 6:45 p.m. beginning June 12th and running through the month of August. The only exception is June 26th. There will be powerful worship along with life-changing messages. And if you need prayer, motivation, hope, and encouragement, I hope to see you every Saturday this summer beginning June 12th at 6:45 p.m. at Lancaster Stadium.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
Did God give me the gift to preach for myself? Did he give you your gift for yourself? It's actually to bless other people. And for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to talk about these again because you can go back and listen to the message I did on these. But to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. So somebody has, God put something on their heart and says, listen, I need to share this with you. And it usually has to do with wisdom. Hello? What is wise? A wise decision, probably. I don't know if you consider this, God really put on my heart, and it really helps a person make a decision. But Shane, we have the word. Yes, we do. But sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to reveal something to us outside of the word, as long as it lines up with the word, correct? I've shared this before, and I hate to keep using the same examples, but before I started pastoring, nobody would never said, have you considered to be a pastor? I never heard that. But then the last couple months before we decided to plant the church, everybody asked me that. And I've been praying for direction. God, I need confirmation. You know why I like a word of wisdom or word of knowledge? Because I trust God. I don't trust me. So I can read the Bible and like, God, I feel you put this in my heart, but I don't know if this is you. This just might be a good idea. I need confirmation. I need to know. I need to hear from you. And God uses these gifts of the Spirit to build up and edify the body of Christ. So one is given a word of wisdom. Wouldn't that be so cool? Somebody came up to you and, you know, there's an environment actually this morning at 6 a.m., I guess I should tell you about that a little bit. The sound system didn't work, so we didn't have worship. We had an hour and a half prayer meeting. It was incredible. People sang, we're at the altar. It was really, really moving. About 70 people. We're here, but that's the environment where you allow God's Spirit to speak to people. But if you were going through a situation and you didn't know what to do and you're just praying, you're seeking God, you come to church and somebody runs up to you and says, hey, you've been on my heart all week. I don't know why, but God, I feel God just wants me to tell you, don't give up. Whatever, just keep moving forward despite what it looks like. And this person starts crying because they're about ready to give up on their marriage. Or on their son or daughter they've been praying for. We heard a prayer request this morning, a son-in-law daughter that they've been praying for 18 years is finally asking questions. Instead of mocking God, they're finally asking questions. See, that's how these gifts work. Yes, we have the Bible. Yes, it's all we need for life and godliness. But I need God to speak to me sometimes. I don't know about you. I need to hear from God. I need to know, Lord, is this you? I trust you, but not Shane Eidelman. I've got myself a lot of trouble by following good ideas. But then to other people, he gives faith. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Oh, to another, the word of knowledge. So that follows wisdom. So a word of knowledge is something that a person knows. So let's say God put something on my heart or your heart, and you just have this, you know something about a person, and it helps to get them through a particular situation. And then to another, this gift of faith is given. To another, the gifts of healings. Look at how that's plural. The gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So it's the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts as he wills, as he desires. This is why you can't manufacture it. You can't manufacture it. You can't just, you know, pray over someone and say, okay, and you try to manufacture it. You try to make it happen. It's what God graciously gives. So my question this morning to you, the first question is, does any of this that we just read, does it apply to us today? Oh, you don't have to answer. I was just throwing it out there. But that's the divide in the church. There are people who will not come here over this reason. Probably shouldn't say this, but I'll tell you, I probably wouldn't go to their churches either, because many times they are dead. They're dead. Dead to the things of God, dead to emotional worship, dead to hearing from God. That type of group often won't have prayer meetings. A prayer meeting? Well, if they do, it's at least attended. It's in a side room and there might be two people there. For God to get 70 people here at a 6 a.m. prayer meeting? That's a service. Did you know that 80% of churches in America are 80 people and under? 80% of churches in America are small, 80 people and under. And when God begins to move on the hearts of people, you want to do things. You're excited about God. You might get up automatically and wake up and can't wait to get to church. See, there's a lot. You're alive to the things of God. I didn't say without challenges. I didn't say perfect. I didn't say you walk on clouds all day. And just, you know, everything you touch turns to gold. No, there's warfare. You've got to fight. You've got to break through. Anytime you're delivered from something, you've got to maintain that deliverance. You let that enemy back in, he might bring seven worse than the first. And the last day of that man is worse than the first. You've got to fight. You've got to contend. This is how I fight my battles. But there's a hunger for more of God. There's a hunger to get in his word. There's a hunger to have prayer meetings. If it was up to me, I might open this church every morning. And those would be here hungry. And what can you imagine, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 24/7 prayer, where people have different shifts? Do you know that already happens? That happens. There's a hunger for God. So when people begin to deny that the Holy Spirit is working this way, they often do not have the power of God. Because you can't say that doesn't happen and still operate in a mighty, powerful moving of God's Spirit. Yes, some of these pastors have Spirit-filled preaching. I believe that they're still filled with the Spirit in regard to their preaching, but I believe they lack this area of being filled with God's Spirit. This is when experience meets Scripture. So let's think about this as well. Is today's church different than the New Testament church? I mean, in some ways, of course, but practically speaking, is today's church any different than the New Testament church? If we could go back 2,000 years ago and bring someone into the church at 6 a.m. this morning, other than the microphone, you would not see a difference. An attire. It made the language they speak, but there would not be a difference because the church is still praying. The church is still hungry for God. The church is still crying out for God. I would love to see somebody from wouldn't you love to see an early church member from 2,000 years ago who walked with Jesus maybe, and they would come and they say, show us how to do church. You better get everything off your schedule for today. You better plan on not going to lunch. You better plan on not looking at your watch. I have a feeling they were not in a hurry. That was the Lord's day, not the Lord's hour. It was the Lord's day. The whole day was set apart for God. Now I'm not talking about drawing it out just to draw it out and making it boring just to be boring. I mean, to make it boring. But if it gets boring, you know, and it's just doing it to do it, but there should be an excitement about following God. And then another question, is everything we need in the Word of God? Well, it is. Everything, the Bible says, everything for living godly according to Christ Jesus. Every principle, I believe, every truth. I can show you from our immigration policy, nationally, politically speaking. I can show you from abortion to gay marriage to transgender issues to the borders to security to the role of government to the role of the church. All truth is found in God's Word. Yes, let's clap for that one. That's a good one. Everything we need is in God's Word. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit would be referred to something that is supplemental, not above the Word, actually sits underneath the Word, and it allows a believer to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And also, are we in the last days? I mean, I hope we all are on the same page with that. We are in the last days, and the prophet Joel, who Peter quoted, Peter actually quotes the prophet Joel when the Holy Spirit descended upon the church in the upper room. The church was really born. The Holy Spirit fills the believers. They're speaking with tongues. They're glorifying God. Peter said, they're not drunk. This is that the prophet Joel spoke of. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men see visions and young men dream dreams. And are those not still happening? When God pours out his spirit, when you're filled with the spirit, it's not a boring, mechanical type of, let me read the Bible, let me go to church, that's a good, you know, you're filled with the spirit. You're sensitive in your family to the things of God, to praying specifically for your children or your spouse. In a store, you're sensitive to the Word of God and the things of God. People come to your mind that you need to pray for, you need to reach out. You're filled with the spirit, so you're overflowing in your daily life. And I believe that's what Paul said when he said, I pray daily without ceasing. See, it's a life of prayer. I can go an hour and not pray, but in my spirit, it's a life of prayer. It's praying without ceasing. It's, God, how can you use me today? God, what do you want to do? God, you're so awesome. And as I'm singing this song and as I'm at this store, Lord, bless me. Does this person need to be blessed and helped out with food and finances and the hospital homes that we go to? God, bless those people there. Show me what they need. And you operate filled with the Spirit. Why do you think the enemy is going after that more than anything else, I believe? I believe the number one attack that the enemy is trying to do on your life, the life of this church, any church for 2,000 years, is to deflate the person filled with the Spirit. Because when I quench and grieve the Spirit of God, I don't even want to be here. And you don't either, do you? Pray. And when you're quenching and grieving the Spirit of God, just me mentioning a 6 a.m. prayer service sounds dreadfully boring. Why? Because the Spirit's not connected. The Holy Spirit. Yes, a person can be saved, but they can quench and grieve the Spirit to such a degree that the things of God do not come alive. Doesn't the Scripture come alive to you? You read that it's the Word of God, it says, is living. The Word of God is living, more alive than me. The Word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces, it divides the soul and the spirit. It's going after him and her and them and up, and it's living, it's vibrant. And it's a living faith. He who believes in me, as the scriptures say, out of his belly will flow rivers of stagnant cement. Out of his belly will flow rocks. Hardness, barrenness, dryness, none of that. Out of his spirit, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And you have to imagine when they're at the Jordan River or they're in Israel, they don't have what we have. They just had imagery. That's why the Bible is so picturesque and uses so much imagery. You see living water, which would be water that is moving, gushing over boulders and down waterfalls. And this living water, there's nothing more dramatic or graphic in the mind of a person to say, out of you is going to flow that, spiritually speaking. So if a person is dead to the things of God, I'm here to awaken you. I believe that's one of the aspects of this church. I was just talking to somebody this week, and We have a very unique calling, this church does. Many of you know, that's why a lot of you are here. And I was asking, hey, what are your thoughts on this? We've had, because we're coming up on 10 years in September, we've had thousands and thousands of people attend this church. Did you know that? Of course, many people move. And maybe in September, we'll have those who have been here the first service stand up. I think there's only about, what, six of us? Five of us, maybe? I joke about it, but it's kind of true. It's really the treadmill church. People come in, yeah, that's what, I want more of God. But as soon as they begin to sin and quench the spirit, they don't want that type of church. They don't go to church at all, or they'll go to a very comfortable church that doesn't offend. It actually encourages them in their sin. So with this kind of church, you're going to see lives radically change, but you're also going to see people run for cover when they're under conviction. They don't want, see, that's the difference. When a person is under conviction, they want God to change them, they'll run here. They don't even know why they're here, they're just here. But the person who's enjoying their sin and wallowing in their sin and convicted, they're not coming in here. That's the last place they want to go. Now, of course, there's preferences and differences and people. I think people at certain levels, I've actually referred people to other churches. They said, Shane, I see what you're saying, but I want a church that goes through Genesis to Revelation. I want Bible teaching every single Sunday, expository, word for word. I want to know what the Greek says. I want to know what the Hebrew says. I want an inductive, deductive, and immediate approach to your sermon preparation. I want it to meet all the homiletic and hermeneutic approaches to your sermon studies. That's what I want. Okay, I can recommend a good one. But those who are alive and want more, but that's an encouragement to you. I know some of you, many of you are not maybe where you want to be, but you want to be. That's why you're here. That's why you're here, to be filled again with the Spirit of God. And that only comes, let me tell you this, that only comes often through hard preaching. Preaching that digs deep. Preaching that gives the scaffolding out. See, what's the difference between a robber at your door with a knife and a surgeon? See, many people can hurt you with the Word of God. But when God's Word is preached in all its fullness, it's that little knife removing the cancer tumor, and it hurts. It digs deep. It offends. Oh, if you knew how many times I got offended working on sermons. Oh, golly. It cuts my heart because I can't come up here and be an actor. I want to live it. And that's one of my biggest, and I tell my wife, God, I want to live what I'm preaching. I want it. I want to be on Monday who I am on Sunday. Oh, it's a challenge. Oh, is it not? That's the hardest part of my life is living what I preach. That is the hardest part of my life is living what I preach. And falling short and getting back up. And these people here, I know you're hungry. So as much as you feel like maybe it hurts, it's because God loves us. God loves us enough to hurt us. I've seen it many, many times over a year. A prideful man needs to be hurt of his pride before he repents and is filled with the Spirit. He needs to be lovingly confronted. He needs to be slapped with the Word of God. Not just all, if all we're doing is encouraging, nobody changes. So we are in the last days, and that God's Spirit is being poured out. Also, we don't share this a lot, maybe we should at some point test, but I can tell you testimonies of, in the last year, probably maybe even 6 months, of dozens and dozens and dozens of people being filled with God's Spirit. Being filled with God's Spirit. Shane, I don't know what happened. Church was boring. I rarely came. Now I can't get enough. I started praising God and now I'm speaking a language I don't even understand. What's wrong with me? God's moving. I had this going on. What's going on? Just read the Bible. Read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Now I should tell you, people are new. People are listening probably. I mentioned tongues and different things. It's a strange gift for me too. I mean, when I think of it, I mean, it's odd that God would do that. It doesn't make a lot of, sense. It's like, okay, it will as we read, but I'm there with you. I understand that some of these things are hard to understand. Again, not apologizing for the Word of God whatsoever. It's in there. I believe it's beneficial, but sometimes we don't quite understand everything that God is doing. Do you want to know why to everything? My kids do. Why this? How come? What happened? Where? When? How? Why does he do that? Why did he do that then? How does it work? And sometimes we just have to trust that God moves by his Spirit and will change us in ways that we don't even know about. And then he gives, I'm going to skip down to verse 27, he gives an analogy of the body. Now you are the body of Christ and the members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. Okay, here's some controversial words. God has appointed in the church first apostles. Now, this is a lowercase a for a reason. We don't believe or teach that people have that apostolic calling like the apostles, the 12 apostles. That is over and done with. That was when Jesus was died on the cross, there are no more big capital A apostles. At least how we believe, what we teach in the Bible. But there is what they would call the office of an apostle. And this is just a person who is sent, a person who is sent to plant churches, a person who is sent to do God's work. So somebody would be the apostle Paul. If he were here today, would still be an apostle because they're going out, they're planting churches and they're going out, they're sent ones. So God still calls those people to go out and be sent. My beef is with those people who put apostle and prophet and stuff like that on their business card. That's tacky. That's just not good. That just, come on, where's the humility? And I've noticed the self-proclaimed apostles aren't often apostles. The self-proclaimed prophets aren't always necessarily working in that gifting. Something I found is those most called of God, most gifted of God with the strong anointing of God are often the ones who do not run to the calling. They do not run for those titles. Those who are truly called to be a pastor usually run from it for a while. Those who are truly have that prophetic type gifting don't want to shout it from the rooftop. They want to go hide in a corner because they understand the magnitude and weight of God's calling. And unless you've done, for example, let's say preaching, unless you've done that, that's why it's good for pastors sometimes talk because you carry a unique burden that not many people understand. I have to get up tomorrow morning and I have to speak to you what God has put on my heart through the text of scripture that lines up with his word to make sure it's theologically accurate, to make sure people are blessed and edified, that marriages are restored, that prodigal sons are home, that sinners are repenting and coming to know the Lord. And again on Monday, and again on Monday. And now we threw Wednesdays in the mix. So you care. It's not just, hey, look at that. Prepare this. Now, the health expo, that's easy. Here's healthy stuff. That's easy. But when you're preaching God's word, there's a weight. There's a burden that people don't understand. It's like, you know, if you speak, let's say a manager speaks at a luncheon and he asks his boss, okay, is that what you wanted me to cover? Is that, you know, did I do okay? When it comes to preaching, you're answering to the boss. There's a weight, there's a burden that you have to make sure you deliver to the people. This isn't, hey, I showed up, here's what I think. This is, you're actually investing into the lives of people. You're struggling with alcohol. You're about ready to commit adultery. You're about ready to walk out on your marriage. You're thinking God doesn't exist. You're thinking that you're troubled. You want to commit suicide. And all these groups and voices, and you've got to let God speak individually through these people. That's a burden to carry. And then also the burden of the Lord. God gives me a burden. God gives me like pregnant with the word of God, and you have to share what God has put on your heart. There's a burden. So sometimes I go home exhausted from preaching. Monday, exhausted. I'm like, I'm just as tired as physical activity. What is wrong with me? Because the mental, the spiritual, the praying with people and discerning and different things, it's a tremendous. So God has to, my point was God has to call a person to that. He has to call you to, if you want to be in ministry, make sure he's calling you to that.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. Please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change. Truth does not.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time.
such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.